Okay, so we're up to Simin Lamed Ches. We're up to Halacha Yudala to Chis. Let's just first read the Halacha inside, then I'll give some back, and then we'll do some the what it says here on the bottom. Gvino Yisrael Tzikachavim. Asura. Cheese of a non-Jew is forbidden. Cheese is much different, is an entirely different world. It has nothing to do, I don't say nothing, I'm not going to say nothing to do with milk, but it's a different category of halacha. Cheese of a non-Jew is forbidden. The im ha-yisrol, so read the words and we'll discuss everything. The im ha-yisrol, roye ha-chaliva, v'asiyas ha-gedilais. Now, let's say the Jews, the kids are very machmir. We're not so machmir halacha l'maisa like the kitzur. Many things we're very lean like the kitzur, but in this area we're now in halacha l'maisa. I don't think we're as machmir as what the kitzur says. Yeah. If a Jew sees, there are two things a Jew must do in order to be permitted to eat cheese. Number one, you must be physically present when the non-Jew milks the cow. That's number one. No ands, if, or buts. If the guy is planning to use this milk for cheese, you must be present at the milking of the animal. Number two, and the asiyas hagivinos, when you insert the enzyme, now we'll discuss how cheese is made in a few moments, when you insert the enzyme which caused the cheese to curdle, the milk to curdle, to turn into cheese, to turn hard, that must be done in the presence of a Jew. Page ratio test. Now it's on page ratio test. We're on page ratio test. Now, even if that is done, it says, im ha-gvinos b'shas asiyoson hein shel Yisrael mutaros, even if you have both conditions, according to the kitzur, it doesn't help. It must be owned by a Jew. Chazal, we're extremely machmir when it comes to cheese. You can be present, you can watch the guy milk the cow, and you can watch the guy insert the enzyme which caused the milk to turn into cheese, but im ha-gvinos b'shas asiyoson hein shel Yisrael mutaros, Avol im hein b'shas asiyoson shel oivdei koychavim asuros. But if it's owned by a non-Jew, it is forbidden. If the milk that is owned by a non-Jew, even though the Jew is present when the milking is done and when the enzyme is added, it does not help. Now, why were Chazal so machmir with regard to cheese more so than milk? So let's give some background. How do you make cheese? So in ancient times, and still possibly done today in some place, I'm not familiar with food technology, cheese was made by adding rennet. What is rennet? Rennet is an enzyme that is found in the stomach, in the lining of the stomach of a cow. Now the problem is, a cow, there are two issues. Number one, if you take this enzyme that's found in the lining of a cow, first you could extract it, or the way it was done in ancient times is much simpler. You just take the stomach itself and you pour the milk into the stomach. You pour the milk into the stomach and you let the milk sit in the stomach for a period of time, and the milk is coming in contact with the rennet, the enzyme in the leather, in the stomach of the cow. It turns, it curdles, and it comes into cheese. Now you'll ask me right away, isn't that basar b'chalav? Well, first of all, not really, because basar b'chalav has to be through cooking. I mean, our Torah, there's no way this can be a violation of having prohibition of meat and milk, because in our Torah, meat and milk is only forbidden when you cook meat with milk. If you put the two together, if you have a cold piece of meat and a cold piece and with cold piece of meat soaked in milk, and you eat it, in our Torah, you have done nothing wrong. There's no prohibition of eating milk and meat if they are cold. The prohibition is only when they are cooked together. Fact, if you take a piece of cheese and you heat it up, you take a piece of meat and you roast it and you put the two together, make a cheeseburger, and they're not made together, they're not heated together, min ha-tor, it's mutter. You have not cooked them together. Today, in McDonald's and Burger King, from what I understand, it's the real deal. Because they actually put the cheese and the piece of raw meat and they put it through a machine and the fire actually roasts the meat together with the cheese. So buying a burger in McDonald's or in Burger King, whatever those type of places are, is mamish. I mean, I'm telling you, the real deal. No coolness. You can't go say, oh, it's not the only midrabanan. It's only midrabanan. It's a deraisa, mamish. Now, what about taking milk and putting milk in the stomach of an animal so that it should absorb the enzyme in the stomach of the animal and curdle and turn into cheese? That is not a min ha-Torah. However, it would really be also mid-Rabbanan because it's called davar ha-maimit. First of all, it's milk and meat together, and the milk, the meat, the enzyme is causing the milk to turn to change state. It's doing something which caused the change. However, Chazal said it's mutter because it's bottle. Basically, it's bottle. What do you have here? You have here some of the enzyme, and the enzyme relative to the milk is almost nothing. It's a teeny, teeny fraction. It's a lot less than shishim. So it's bottle. There's no prohibition whatsoever of making cheese by putting milk into the stomach of the animal. There's no flavor of meat. That's for sure not. And just there's an enzyme. The enzyme may have a status of fleishiks of basar, but it's bottle. So you'll ask me the next question, don't we have a rule of ein mevatlin iser lechatchila? Although the rule is that if you have a piece of meat and you have some milk milked into the meat, it's mutter, but you're not allowed lechatchila to be mevatel iser. So how then it can be mutter? So here Chazal said it's make an exception. Why? Because the enzyme is not edible. It's a very important principle. The enzyme is not edible in and of itself. If you have milk or some type of challah that's edible, and now you want to put it as an ingredient into a dish, and you want to use it as some type of catalyst to make some type of chemical change, then you're getting in a shiloh of bittul. It'll be at the end of the day, the milk will be bottled, the prohibited thing will be bottled. Okay, but still, ein mevalin iser lechatchila. You're not allowed to do that lechatchila. That's only if the item that you add into the other item is edible in and of itself. But if it's not rohui liachila, it's just like a chemical, then the prohibition of ein mevalin iser lechatchila does not apply. So this explains why we are allowed to have regular cheese the way it was made in ancient times. Say it's not done like this, of course. Say you'll never find any factory taking milk and pouring milk into the stomach of a cow. That will never happen. And the only thing that may happen, I'm not even sure if it's even done, is you can just take the rennet. They extract rennet from the stomach of a cow, and maybe they sell it in some commercial venue. You can buy rennet, and you can take the rennet, you can pour it into milk, and it will cause it to turn into cheese.
Does it have to be shechted or not?
Oh, that's what we're coming to. That is what the whole prohibition of Gevina Sachem comes to. But let's just take one step at a time. If you deal, let's go back to ancient times. Time of Chazal, you have milk, you have a stomach of an animal, and you're pouring in milk into the stomach of an animal. Question. Basa b'chala. That's not a question. There's no cooking. That's number one. Number two, it's bottle. Even if the rennet has
to be a kosher animal, it could be a cow.
No, that's when we get to it. I'm going to come to 1 second. It's bottle. That's number two, it's bottle. Number three is all but eva valim selechatchila. It's not a problem. It's not a problem because the rennet by itself is not edible. If it's not edible, it doesn't fall under the category of eva valim selechatchila. So what's then the problem with gevina sakum, cheese of a non-Jew? Here's the catch. The only time you can do this technique is when the stomach, the rennet, came from an animal that had a proper shechita. Glat kosher. The animal was glat kosher. Beis Yosef glat. It was a kosher animal. Shechita, bedika, was the trefa. And now I take that stomach and I pour milk. So now we're going to apply the principle of its bottle. There's no heat. And it's mut. But if the rennet is treif, because it came from an animal that did not have a kosher shechita, Chazal here were not mekel. They said it's not bottle. Why is it not bottle? Because it's called a maimed. The rennet is a catalyst in changing the status of another food. That is so choshev, you can't apply the rule. Even though physically it's bottle, the milk is a million times more than the enzyme. It's completely bottle. But being that this enzyme has brought about a change, so the enzyme becomes very chashav in the eyes of halacha midrabanan, and the milk is asr. Oh, but when it was kosher, the stomach was kosher, it was a good shechita, and it was not an avela. There we said it's not davar. It's right, Chazal. Davar ha-maimid is an iser dirabanan. Chazal only said that maimid is a problem when it's not kosher. If the maimid is kosher, even though it's milk, And here we're using the milk to change meat. I mean, even though it's meat, and we're using meat to change milk, Chazal, we're not concerned. We're not concerned. It's bottle. It's Dover HaMaimit. So what is Dover HaMaimit? So what is the catalyst? If this is kosher, and this is kosher, the bottom line is that it's bottle. There's no problem with in violence in the Chatchilim because it's not edible. But everything changes. Dover HaMaim means it makes a change. It's significant that it brought about a change. But everything in the equation changes when the Dover HaMaimit comes from a non-kosher animal. Then we don't apply any of these leniencies. This non-kosher enzyme has caused milk to change state from milk to cheese. The cheese is treif. There's no bittel. It's treif for cheese like an avela. It comes from an avela, non-kosher animal. So Chazal were extremely strict. And they said, if you have cheese that was produced by a goy, it's a gezerah. It's categorically forbidden. Even though we are 100% sure that the milk, first of all, is another issue. First of all, is the milk kosher milk? Who knows, maybe the milk had a mixture of pig milk on, or whatever type of milk that came from non-kosher animal. Also, you'll tell me, but yesterday we learned when it comes to butter, there's no concern. If a guy serves you butter, he puts in front of you butter, so generally speaking, I didn't realize there are customs where it might be also, well, maybe it comes in a few moments, but generally it's mutter. Butter is mutter. Why? Because how did this thing turn hard? The only way this thing turned on is if it came from milk of a kosher animal. Because a non-kosher animal cannot possibly curdle. A milk from a non-kosher animal cannot physically turn into butter. Oh, but cheese, this would be the same exact thing. It's a very big difference. Cheese is not as hard as butter. Butter is solid. There are no pockets in butter. There's no room to hide. If it's butter, it's butter. Cheese, at times, we're spoiled, we have very high quality cheeses, but cheese at times can have pockets of liquid trapped inside, cavities, and in those cavities can be the non-kosher milk that never curdled, never turned into cheese. You can get away with it, and no one will ever know, because that's the way cheese is. Not every single part of the cheese actually turns hard. You can't differentiate between which part did not become hard because it just never finished the processing, and which part of the cheese did not become hard because it's not kosher milk. So there's a real concern when it comes to cheese that the milk used to make the cheese should be 100% milk of a kosher animal, and there should not be a fraction of that milk from a non-kosher animal. That's concern number one. Concern number two, maybe the guy used rennet of a animal that did not have a proper shechita, and then the rennet is not going to be a dover hamaimid, that's not kosher, and it's not going to become bottle, and the cheese is going to be treif. So Chazal were extremely strict, and they were basically required, according to the strict letter of the law, the way the Kiddush presents it, which is not a halach, we're a little bit more makel, if I'm not mistaken. Especially Bisman Hazen in America, according to many people come on to a Moshe Pesach for this, not everybody, but many people more make it, but generally speaking, there are three conditions. You must be physically present at the milking of the cheese. You must be physically present at the addition of the enzyme which transforms the milk into cheese, and you must own it. It must be your property. If you're missing one of these three conditions, the cheese is also forbidden. Categorically forbidden, no matter what.
Do you have to salt it?
What do you mean salt it? That's an additional process. There is no salting in general. Making cheese, they don't
no,
generally
salt it the stomach.
No, to remove the blood, any blood? Not necessarily. No, only if you want to eat it, you have to salt it. You cook it. No, I don't. I don't think so. No, I'm not aware. I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. I don't think so. I don't
why,
think.
Why can butter only be made from kosher milk?
It's a mitzvah. It's a fact.
It won't curdle.
That's the reality. The reality is, show me, take all the types of common milks. I don't know, maybe you'll find me a milk, an exotic animal. Some go to a zoo, you'll find an exotic animal.
That's the supposed scientific fact.
Because the
only a cow will make butter.
Yeah, but a cow...
Only a cow. Milk only will one not cow make. Will make butter.
Now here's the question. Here's
will not?
No.
You have goat's milk.
Well, goat is kosher. But if any animal that they would use for milk in a time of Chazal, goyim would milk this animal, a non-kosher animal, and it would produce milk, they would drink, would not produce butter. Maybe you'll find animals, exactly, go to the zoo, you'll find some type of animal whose milk, non-kosher animal, whose milk produces butter. But it was very rare. It's not common. Tarmi Chazal, such type of milk was not at all common, and you need not be concerned. So butter generally was never a problem, was not included in the prohibition of butter does not need rennet. Butter is made through fermentation, natural process. So you're not adding anything to butter. So what could go wrong? Butter, nothing can go wrong. There's no concern that there's going to be a mixture of non-kosher milk with kosher milk, because it would not turn into butter unless it was kosher milk. And as far, maybe there's a mixture in your pockets, butter does not have any cavities. Butter is pure butter. If it's not pure butter, you're not going to buy it, because that's not the way it's sold. That's what people want. People want a solid piece of butter. So it has to come from kosher milk, and you don't need to add any non-kosher enzyme to make it into butter. So what could go wrong? Nothing can go wrong, and that's why, according to many opinions, butter was never included in any prohibition. Chazal never put any prohibition upon butter. Now, you should be aware, one thing you have to be aware of, that it's not 100% true, because the time of the Goinim, by force, he brings down in his Sefer that in the time of the Goinim, there was a new takana of butter as well. Not everyone accepted this takana, because Goyim, what happened in those times, Goyim would milk cows, there was milk. And the custom was there wouldn't be pure milk today. You know, you buy a gasoline, it's 20% ethanol. It's not pure. So we have milk. No such thing as going to the gas station to buy milk and it's going to get 100% pure milk. It's diluted. They put in the milk, some non-kosher milk. That was the mitzias. And then what happened when the day was over? They didn't have enough customers. They have leftover milk. So what did they do with the leftover milk? They made it into butter. But butter, not the 20% of the milk that's not kosher did not turn into butter. It was soggy butter. So they drained it. They came up with some other technique to drain out the excess of milk that did not turn into butter. And that became the norm. And people started getting confused. People who were traditionally Jews, who traditionally understood that there was no prohibition to purchase butter from Goyim, kept on buying butter. But not realizing that in the time of the Gaonim, they started making butter from leftover milk that was meant for drinking purposes. If you go and you're milking the cow, making butter, you wouldn't dare mix that milk with non-kosher milk, because it's not going to curdle, it's not going to turn into butter. But if your original kavanah was to milk the animal to sell milk in the store for drinking purposes, and when the day is over, you want to cut your losses, so that I'll take the leftover milk that was meant to be sold for drinking, we're going to make it into butter, and we'll deal with the problem of the excess milk that does not turn into butter, it became a problem. So there was a later takana at the time of the Gaonim, a much later period of time, when they prohibited butter from a non-Jew, but not every community accepted this chumrah, and that's why today many people are extremely lenient. We discussed yesterday, when it comes to butter, there's no problem. You can buy butter that was manufactured by non-Jews, especially today when we know for a fact that the goyim are not eating into the milk animal, milk of non-kosher animals. Today there's another issue which Rabbi Forsey mentions, is that kamat today doesn't exist pure butter. Every single thing, any bar of butter you buy has many other ingredients. It's processed, it's flavored, it's there are a lot of kashrus issues today with butter, so you really basically can't buy butter. You have to have a hechsher. But they had the hechsher, doesn't mean that it's butter that came from Kol Av Yisrael. Okay, but that's another issue. But let's go back. Now here is something very important. So there's one very obvious flaw. There's one very obvious flaw in this whole process of cheese that you're going to ask, is that today, maybe even for 1,000 years, they don't make cheese today anymore by adding rennet. There are other chemicals, other enzymes that are more efficient, that do a better job, that are easier, safer. So we don't do it anymore.
And not from non-animal
sources. And even natural sources. So why, Bizman Hazel, when we don't make cheese anymore from rennet, should there be a problem? So in the Hanami, there are such opinions that say that Bizman Hazel, you don't have to be so machmeh, you can relax a little bit some of the standards of cheese, because we don't make cheese anymore with rennet. But that's not the accepted opinion. Those are used in situations after the fact. But l'chatchila, there's a takana. that Akana was because to make cheese you have to do something that's not natural. You have to add a foreign substance. It used to be that the gezeira was made because the only foreign substance that was added to make cheese into milk was rennet, which comes from an animal. And if you don't know, the animal can be non-kosher, can be from a non-kosher and did not have a proper shlita, it was a treifa. Oh, but today, there's no moral concern. It doesn't matter. The principle remains the same. It's not like butter. It's not natural. Cheese, you have to add an additive. And that additive, it used to be rennet, and therefore there was a gezeira on gevinas akum. That gezeira remains in effect al hayom hazeh, even though we don't add rennet, we use other types of ingredients which are not from prohibited sources to make cheese. The gezeira remains in effect in full force. So the gevina is very chum. Now before we just go further, what about soft cheeses? Cream cheese, cottage cheese, even creams, sour cream, all the yogurts, also again, some certain types of yogurts, what status do soft cheeses have? So this is a big, big machlokes haposkim. This is not at all clear, because some of these cheeses are made different ways, all different types of companies. Some of them add different enzymes to get them going. Some do not. Some do this in a natural way, like butter. There's a certain natural process, or theoretically can be made. So there's a machlokes haposkim. What standards do we have to accept for cottage cheese, for cream cheese? Do we treat cottage cheese and cream cheese with the lenient standards of milk? Milk, you just have to know that the milk is kosher milk. It's from an animal that's kosher. You don't have to be present. Your physical presence is not necessary in the processing of milk. As long as you know that's kosher milk, whether it's from government regulation or whether you're there, it's over. You don't have to be present now when they start processing the milk into cream cheese, into sour cream. You don't have to be present. It's not important because cream cheese is sour cream and cottage cheese is not cheese. It's not cheese. It's milk. So it's kosher milk. It's even Chol of Yisrael. Send it to the factory. I'm out. There's not a Jew present on site when they begin the processing. That is, I think, very well accepted. A lot of kosher organizations make use of that. They treat soft cheeses with the standards of milk. However, not everyone is so thrilled with that. Since they do add some type of additives, enzymes that begin the process, perhaps it has the status of a cheese. Cheese? There's no room for leniency when it comes to a cheese. A Jew must be present, physically present, when the additive is put into the milk to start the process. If a Jew is not present, that's called gevinas akum. Even if the Jew owns the milk, it's gevinas akum. This is the big machlokes haposkim, how to treat the soft cheeses. So here in the Kitzri, he's very machmir. He says when it comes to cheese review, he goes and he says, that's what he says, there are two things. There's the milking. Read the word Yudal one more time. Gevinas ad yuchav masura. If a guy sells you cheese, it's also v'im ha-yisrael roya ha-chaliva, the milking. Because cheese is not like butter. In cheese, it was accepted in ancient times to have a watery cheese. So there's liquid floating around in there. What's that liquid? Maybe that liquid comes from milk from a non-kosher animal. Serious business. That's the first thing you got to make sure of. Number two, the asiyas. What does it mean asiyas? When you add the enzyme. What am I adding? Well, today, they're adding a chemical. They're adding some chemical, whatever they're adding. It doesn't matter. That, the zayda of that chemical, the great-great-grandfather of that chemical used to be rennet. And rennet can come from a non-kosher, an animal that's kosher, but did not have a shlita, proper shlita. And that's what a guy would naturally want to use, not because he doesn't know from kashrus. And that would be tarfus. Oh, but it should be bottled. It's not bottled. It's chashuv. Why is it chashuv? It's a davar hamayimit. Oh, but davar hamayimit is bottled when it comes to kosher rennet. Yeah, because it's kosher. But when it's not kosher, there's a different set of rules. Non-kosher, davar hamayimit is not bottled. So the cheese is treif. So therefore, you must be present when the ingredient is added, no matter what the ingredient is. That's all part of the takana of gevina. And now, that's not enough. Im ha-gevina b'shas ha-siyas nehin shal yishol. After you have those two conditions, you know where the milk comes from, and you're present when they added that enzyme, and it belongs to a Jew, it's mutter. But Chazal was so machmir. If the owner of this milk and the owner of this company is non-Jewish, avol im hein shehin b'shas asiyas and shel oivik achavim, doesn't help. All of these kulos not going to help. Asuros. So it's a very big problem. Now let's see what it says here.
Milk that chalav stam is a regular milk that not can't be used. It has to be chalav Yisrael milk.
No, not well. You said chalav stam. Chalav stam is a modern.
Right.
Modern day term. According to Rav Moshe, it's mutter. Mutter. Cholov stam is mutter. So it's just as good as cholov. It's just as good. It's not.
Doesn't
it's
have
not
to be totally supervised by.
The milking does not have to be supervised. As long as it's owned, it's or subleased. This run is kosher. It's owned by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Even if the goyim were getting the milk from goyim. And it's cholov stam, that would be mutter according to Rav Moshe. This first condition, the chaliva condition.
What is the process of fermenting?
It's natural. They don't have to eat anything, I don't think.
They just churn it?
Yeah, I think so. It's a natural process. I don't know the details, but it seems that it can be done naturally. You don't have to eat anything. I'm sure they do today to speed up the process, like bread. You add yeast. If you don't add yeast into the dough, you have to sit and wait for a very long time until it rises. Even though chametz is 18 minutes, but the truth, it's 18 minutes in halach. It's 18 minutes, but it takes a very long time for it to properly rise. Same thing when it comes to the processing of butter. If you let it sit, you have to do a certain technique. I don't know the details, but the basic idea is cheese in halacha. You have to add a foreign substance, and that changes the whole world. It becomes very complicated because what are you adding to the milk? What's the foreign substance? Well, time of Chazal, it was rennet. Rennet, is it kosher or not kosher? If a goy is involved in the process, we have to really consider that it is not kosher. It has nothing to do with chasnus, nothing to do with intermarriage, zero zilch. It's all a matter of kashrus. Okay, let's.
When I was very young, that we didn't really. There was one cheese that came out, like Therm, I think it was Migdal, or one of the early companies, the Miller, was the only one hard cheese that was around. That was
kosher.
Yeah, that was 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
Before that, I don't think
it didn't exist. Right, there was no such thing, because cheese is the highest standard. There are no heterim for cheese. When it comes to pasakum, paspalter, bishalakum, you turn on the fire. When it comes to making cheese, there are many conditions that have to be met. Let's look at the bottom over here on the bottom test. Givinas akum. Ayin sifkat nakoy de vyandu ramo. If we know that the goy's kavanah was to make from milk cheese, mutter la yisrael la sois mena gevina soloi chashin and shema ear of davar tamei. If we know for a fact, we have a kula. This is really the kula. If we know for a fact that the goy's kavanah was to make the milk the animal, the milking was done for the sole purpose of making cheese. So that right away changes the kavana of the goat. We don't have to be concerned that it's leftover milk. It was very common. The reason why we have to be concerned is because it was very common to milk an animal to drink its milk. And when the kavana is to drink the milk, that's when there's a real concern. There'll be a taruvis of non-kosher milk with kosher milk. But when the kavana lechatchila is to make cheese or butter, you don't want to add any non-kosher milk because it's not going to curdle. So if we know for a fact that the guy's kavana was lasas mechol of gavina, mutlei yisro lasas men of gavina, so lechashin shema, erev devet hameh, docha chol of tameh, in a nikva. Non-kosher milk does not curdle. If you buy a certain amount of cheese, but if you buy milk by measure. If you're buying cheese, then you know what you're getting. But if you're buying milk, osir diyesh lachos shema ir by davar tame, you're just buying milk. If you're buying the cheese, then we assume everything was okay. But if you're buying the milk from a guy, then we have to be concerned that the milk was meant for selling, for drinking, and there's going to be a mixture. The ayamish al shuvas avinazer b'davar beis chareshes in a company. Manufacturing company, Shol Gvinos, Hanas Mechov Shokonim Migoyim, the Ein Yisrael Roya HaChaliva. So you have a Jewish company, and they get every single day a delivery of milk. The milk comes in, and from the milk they buy the milk, and from the milk they make cheese. There was no Jew present when the milk was, the animal, the cows were milked. So what does the Chassam, what does the Avni Nezer say? Hel Hashem, the Gam Kein Asurim, it's Osir. Since this factory is buying milk, they're not buying cheese, so for all we know, the milk has a taruvus. They don't care that maybe they'll get caught that they're selling milk that's mixed with kosher, non-kosher. Only time it's mutter is if we're going to pay them based upon how much cheese we produce. So I guess the milk content will fall out, will just spill out. And we're going to pay them based upon, I guess, the weight or the volume of cheese. So then the guy has in his own interest that it should be, there should be more cheese and no byproduct of wasted liquid. So when the guy has in his best interest, then we can trust the guy will sell us only real milk, not mixed with non-kosher milk. Oz yesh lahat, the kevim d'chol of tome in a mamid, einim arviach. The guy is not going to profit mimashi aribo chol of tome. If it's his best interest that it should be cheese, then we can trust the guy. Or v'shayles ha'shuv s'mam al-hoyl, v'hela d'gam imoicher l'fi amida, el sh'yesh, there is a choyzeh. What?
Contract.
The imi zayif acholav yonish boynish kesel. There's a contract that will be punished or knas. Vaday mirsas hagoyel zayif shev shalamer love the aide uman. So therefore, like Rav Moshe says, that if there's government regulation, there are fines. Then even though he's not getting paid based upon how much cheese we produce, but he's only being paid for the milk, but there are fines that he's not going to cheat us, then you can rely upon that. So there's a leniency with regard to the milk, the source of the milk, but there is no leniency in regard to being present, not being present, when the enzyme is added to the milk to produce cheese. The enzyme, the rennet. So let's say we're going to produce the rennet. We're not actually soaking the milk in the stomach of the cow. We're first extracting the rennet, turning into an ingredient. And then we're going to put that ingredient into the milk. First, what they did was they would thoroughly clean the stomach of the calf. The achash menafchem oisa kish bish luchavis manich mosol lisyavish ad hasoisa keitz. After they clean it thoroughly, they let it dry until it becomes hard like wood. The achkach nechtach lekritin, then they go and they cut into little teeny pieces, crystals. The nice to mehem mishkal mea grams, teich litra, achas mayim, v'arv v'soicha, chamishim grams, melach, they mix it with salt, v'arbam grams, I don't know, chumsa ha-be'iris, of vinegar, some type of acidic water, v'matzav kezeh, mashmeh, sataruvis, meshe, chamisha, yom, v'arvdez, achkach, v'sagnim, v'misnenis, they sifted over, u'mosifin, v'oid mayim, habalulim, melach, more water that's mixed with salt, v'chumsa, be'iris, and some type of acid, v'achkach, ma'abchumis, ha'bol, ha'zeh, be'ezis, v'msoyis, ha'chanimim, l'choymer, mashke, ha'nitchon, l'ovo, dak, the kaf, kat, Nunis Ma'od Mole Imaova Koichoi Ligabe Neo Litroy Scholom. Okay, so I don't know this whole process. Some whole process, they take the stomach of the animal, they let it dry, because it's hard like a rock, they scrape it, they extract the rennet from the lining of the stomach, and they mix it with some type of acid and some type of salt, they let it soak for 5 days, and do it again, and add this and add that, and finally, all finished, you have a product. You have a product. And this little product is so potent, a teeny amount can make a whole warehouse full of cheese. You could take 100 cows and their milk and you turn it with a teeny amount. So what is the status? Is this, but where did this start from? Where did this ingredient come from? It all started from the stomach of a treifa animal. The animal may have been kosher, but it was not a kosher shlita, and it's a treifa. So do we say, ponim chadoshois bo lekad? Since it's not anymore in its original state in the stomach of the animal, it's gone through a very extensive processing. What is its status? Lehevi sham divri harama, shakosav or akeva shabochim yavshma sobe ekeit, so malneso cholov, mutter, avshe hanoida. So he says, mutter. It's no worse, he says, than not going through this entire process, just taking the stomach of an animal, let it dry out like hard like a rock, it's hard like a piece of wood, and then pour the milk into a stomach that's hard like a rock. So there, it's not any, it loses its status of nevela. Once the stomach becomes k'eitz, it loses its status of nevela. It should be no different when we have these ingredients. That's what the Ramah says. However, not everyone agrees. The Avsha, I know the Behuda Kosav, the Beshoy, Surim, Sarsha, or Yisyavish, Kolka, Hachizu, Achilis, Kelim, Nikomakam, Roy, Poiskim, Lusulahu, Kane, they don't agree to that. It doesn't have to become Roy, even though it's still Roy, just because it's a piece of wood, it's still Roy, Lachilas, Kelev. A dog would still chew on it to suck out maybe some flavor. The Yod, Shemish, Shemea, Shriya, Hain, Pegumim, Nitzad, Harbe, Hamelach. Furthermore, in our case, it's even better because here we're processing this ingredient and it's sour and there's salt. And this acid and this vinegar, umitzara chumsa be'eris. I know the exact translation. Chumsa be'eris is some type of acid. Shemitiva einar uy l'shum achila. The nature of this ingredient, it's possible not really achila. Some gam achilas kelev. Al kerafila hashach shakos of the davka b'di'evin muter zedavka nifsal achilas adam v'achat shnifsal gam achilas kelev muter gam lechatchila. Verach was ayin sham. So he comes out. He tries to bring a raya that it should be muter. Say he's trying over here to come out to a leniency and say that this is not called the ingredient. The ingredient is not a treif ingredient. This rennet or this enzyme that we've extracted from the non-kosher is not treif. Now this doesn't take away the other problem. We have to clarify something. Just because the ingredient, the enzyme they're using to make the milk into cheese is not kosher, that does not take away the requirement of having a Jew present when the enzyme is added. There's no room for leniency. A Jew must be present when the enzyme is being added into the milk to make the milk into cheese. There's another issue. The ingredient, the enzyme that's being added is treif, because this enzyme came from an animal that did not have a kosher shlita. So that he's saying, there's rooms to be lenient that it's not treif. Ponim chadoshos bo lukan. Since this thing is only bottle, and it ponim chadoshos, and it was nifsal me'achilas kelev, so it's not a treifa enzyme. Okay, very good. But the Jew still must be present when this treifa enzyme, or this enzyme, is now being added into the milk. The ayin b'shal s'chuvis, chaval v'nimim, don sham nami b'in ha'ava, kanal, v'nikra reddit. Okay, he calls it what we call ready. The hell l'sham lahatir it's mutu mekor me harama hanal viata mazal b'ferish baruch hashulchan shekos b'taloshim v'etzlein olisim agvinas haydei or hakevush nesiyavish ad asher dok l'ofar until it becomes like dust ad im oid dvorim ki yedu with other ingredients v'chein hagoin Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu enk hinkin don binyin v'hell lahatir it's mutu l'chatil b'vadei roi lignoi stavka renin kashera. Okay, so the bottom line is he does come out with maskana that rennet that has come from an animal that is a nevela is kosher, provided it was nifsal me'achilas kelef. It's a kosher ingredient, but again, you must still be present. Yes, that's what he says. The rennet of Chazal was because it was roi l'achilas kelef. They actually would soak the animal in a fresh stomach, milk in a fresh stomach. So it was roi l'achilas kelef. So it's mamish treif. But today, they don't actually take milk and put the milk in the stomach. We let the stomach turn like hard like a rock. We then scrape it. We extract the enzyme. We process it through a lengthy process. And in the process, it's certainly puzzle, not roy, l'achilas kelev. So we basically kashered the ingredient. Okay, so the ingredient today is kosher, the way it's done today. But still, that does not take away from the requirement of having a Jew present when the ingredient is added to the milk.
To make sure that it's kosher.
Nah, that's part of the takana, right? To make sure that it's kosher, because right. In this case, it is kosher. He's just dealing with the ingredient. He's dealing with a side issue here. It doesn't take away from the requirement that a gvina, you must have a Jew present by the asiyas hagvina. So what I've read in my fourth state for today, they don't use rennet anymore. Today, they don't use animal derivatives to make cheese. Today, this is long bottle. This technique that he's describing over here. Other achkar, but it's not an animal derivative.
It's a very interesting.
In Iran, they do like this.
Over here, the process is taking the or putting it in a mixture with a lot of salt, draw the ends on, drying it, so it changes from solid to liquid to solid.
Okay.
When you make citric acid, it's made from corn products.
Okay.
And Rav Avadya Paskin that it's so shino tsura that you can use it on Pesach. There's no problem.
Wow.
Maddie, excuse me, I can tell you for a fact that nobody accepts that any for Pesach nowadays. That's why it's a major problem. You use citric acid
and the minchas
for Pesach, they had to get it from London.
Right, but the minchas, that's what he paskin. He said that there's no
question. But nobody goes with that. Nobody goes with that cooler. Nobody. Well, they don't accept it.
He didn't say it's a cooler. He said it's...
Of course, that's what gives the pastrami its dark color. And so the rug that they were using keeps it a very light color. And it was unsaleable. This is already a while, not too long.
So the minchas yitzchak.
So now they're able to make it because they have to burn the citric acid to give it a dark color. So when they put the pastrami
on,
it gets dark. Otherwise, it looks like, you know, and you can't sell it after Pesach because it looks like you pay Pesach and you don't want it anymore.
There's a story of Moshe. They ask Rav Moshe, what brach? They told me they take potatoes and they mashan it, so they turn it to powder, and then they reconstitute. You make and they make potato. They make mashed potatoes. So they asked him, what brach do you make? He said shahakol. You take a potato and you turn it and you dry it out and you turn it to powder and you do something to it and you reconstitute it. Shahakol. It's like an organic. This is what he passed him. They brought it to him. They brought him. They made mashed potatoes. This is the way that they made mashed potatoes, and they said, "What bracha?" Says Hadama. Says, "But this is the same. This is the same. This came from the powder that we described to you, the processing." So he says, "If you can reconstitute ad gedei kach, the mamish looks like potatoes." He passed. He make Hadama. That's what he passed. Halacha Maaser. But not everyone agrees. Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe passed. Make Hadama on the potatoes made from the reconstituted powder. So you have the same thing over here, but what?
Granulated, right.
So
not granulated.
You said
powder.
Yeah, I know.
Today they don't make, today where my four says they don't make any more from animal derivatives cheese. Cheese is made from adding different ingredients. But those are ingredients. But he makes it very clear what it says here as well, is that does not take away from the takana that there must be a Jew present when the ingredient is added to the milk to make it into cheese. Even though the whole takana doesn't apply bizman hazeh, because we're not using real, even what he's saying, even if we would use rennet, we wouldn't use it raw. No one's going to take milk and pour milk into the stomach of a cow. That's not going to happen today. But that was the original takana. And that takana remains in force ad hayom hazeh, even though the reason doesn't seem to apply. Okay, let's take a break, and then we'll do some Yeni Chanukah.